This is Clay from Skilled Gentlemen Podcast. You're listening to Handgun World Podcast with Bob Main.
How can people be so blind? Hi, this is Derek from Atlanta. Unlike Bob, I am a former law enforcement officer, but I still enjoy listening to a practical show by a practical guy. You're listening to the Handgun World Podcast.
All right. Thank you for those intros. I'm Bob Main. This is the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Hey, remember the opening and the closing music to this show? The name of the song is called You Ain't Getting My Guns, and the artist is Ozark Revival. Check them out on their website, ozarkrevival.com. Well, I'd like to, this week, talk about a mixture of stuff. So really, this is just kind of like a mixed bag of gun talk. I do this once in a while. I have a mixed bag of gun information. You know, it's sometimes I don't just have one single topic. I got several things that I want to say. And I do the best I can to keep it practical and informative for you. So I'll get to that main topic here very shortly. If you want to voicemail the Handgun World Podcast, if you've got a question, if you have a comment, if you got some feedback, good or bad, I'm a big boy. I can handle any kind of feedback. You can call area code 210-646-1727. That is area code 210-646-1727. You got 3 minutes or less to make your point, and I think I'd love to hear from you. You know, I think that'd be kind of a good way. Lots of people have done it. Lots of people have sent and called in voicemails. Thank you for doing that. If you got an intro to the podcast that you would like to send to me, calling into my voicemail might be a good way to do that. Once again, 210-646-1727. Check out my website for my new logo that I have, and I'm going to be saying some more things in this episode about my new logo. So go to handgunworld.com and check it out. Okay, so let's get into the next segment, which I recorded from the road several days before recording all this other stuff, but I've got some good thoughts for you to think about. Stay tuned. Before I get into that, something has happened recently that I've got to talk about. So I really need your attention closely for this little miniature segment here that comes before the main topics. I don't normally put my reputation behind things unless I have really vetted them and unless I've really, you know, owned the products and the services. But this is not an advertisement for a product or a service. But I am going to put my name, my personal name and reputation behind this. I don't know how many of you listen to another podcast called the Polite Society Podcast. The primary founder and creator of the Polite Society Podcast is Paul Lathrop. I remember Paul, when he first got the idea to do his podcast, he contacted me. I think this was about 4 years ago, something like that. He contacted me because he wanted some ideas on how to get a podcast started and things like that, and I helped him out. And I'm really glad to see that his podcast has grown to several thousand listeners every week, the Polite Society Podcast. Well, something terrible has happened to Paul recently, and I'm going to ask you to help. And again, I'm putting my reputation behind this because I believe strongly. I know Paul. Paul has been a student in a class that I've taught with Ben Branham. Ben and I have taught Beyond Concealed Carry Enhanced in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, last year, and Paul was a student there. Paul is a graduate of Masada U Group 40-hour class. He's also a graduate of Kathy Jackson's Cornered Cat class. Every episode I've ever listened to the Polite Society podcast has been a first-class episode. And I guess we could call Paul a human rights advocate and a Second Amendment advocate. He's a solid, solid individual. I cannot divulge some of the details that I know, but I will direct you to my Facebook page, either my personal page, my Bob Main Facebook page, or the Handgun World podcast Facebook page. If you want to know more information, there's a long, long story of what I'm going to tell you, and you can read all about it. But Paul recently got shafted. He got falsely, in my opinion, he got falsely accused and arrested for something that he did not do by an anti-gun police officer and an anti-gun. He's being prosecuted by an anti-gun district attorney in the Omaha, Nebraska area. Paul's a truck driver, and he was driving through Omaha, Nebraska area. He's from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, but he's driving through Omaha, Nebraska, and he's basically, I believe, been railroaded by some anti-gun people. Yeah, and there are anti-gun people all over the United States, ladies and gentlemen. You know, you might think that Nebraska is a real gun-friendly state, and for the most part, it probably is. But just like everywhere, there are little pockets that are anti-gun. In Texas, there are little anti-gun pockets. Austin, Texas, very liberal, very anti-gun. Parts of inner Dallas, Fort Worth, or Dallas. Parts of the inner city of Houston, or the greater area of Houston. Some of these are pretty much more anti-gun than the rest of Texas. Lots of states are that way. Every state's got their little area. Well, of course, in some states like Illinois, you got the most populated area in the whole state is fairly anti-gun, and then you got the rest of the state that's gun-friendly. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is I think the charges that have been brought against Paul Lathrop are bogus. Bogus. And I think anti-gun zealots are trying to put Paul in prison for something he didn't do. Okay? It's a bogus charge. So that's all I'm going to say. Paul needs our help, and he needs our help financially. He needs to raise money for attorney's fees. I think he's got a couple thousand already raised at the time of this recording, all in small donations. And it doesn't matter. You can, you know, even if it's a really small amount, if you can help Paul Lathrop in any way, I am going to put a link to the show notes, or a link in my show notes for this episode. I'll put a direct link to the website. How's that? He set up a website which explains exactly what happened to him. It explains exactly what he was doing. It explains what he's been charged with. Everything. You can read it all there. And it's, again, I put my personal reputation behind this because that's how strongly that I believe that we need to help Paul Lathrop. I've put my money where my mouth is. I've actually sent Paul 2 donations. I sent him one before he set up this website, and then I sent him one last night on this special website. So go there, check it out. Go to the show notes for this episode. You can find them at handgunworld.com. This is episode number 357. Go to the show notes, and you will see a link there that will get you straight to the website, or you can find it on my Facebook page or the Handgun World podcast Facebook page. Okay, time is of the essence, so check that out. Here comes like probably a quick sound effect or something like that, and then I'll get into one of the main topics.
Whenever you see big city mayors campaigning for gun control, rows of uneasy-looking police officers are forced to stand behind the mayors. The reason our police friends are uneasy is they don't buy into the mayor's political scam. The president of the Black Police Caucus said his members believe there should be no gun rationing, and nearly 100% of their membership thinks criminals are able to obtain guns through illegal means. Likewise, 94% of the National Association of the Chiefs of Police believe that citizens should be able to purchase firearms for self-defense and sporting purposes. Maybe this is why billionaire New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg called the 32,000-member Fraternal Order of Police a fringe group, because unlike Michael, cops know who the good guys are, namely you, not Bloomberg. Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called Indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
Okay, I'm recording this segment on the road on the way home from an AASA competition match. I really like those matches. This is probably the third or fourth time that I've shot one of those in the last couple months. Started off shooting my Smith & Wesson M&P Pro, and I'll tell you what, I decided I don't like it anymore. Yeah, I know. I know Smith & Wesson M&Ps are good guns. My M&P Pro, I shot three stages with it. You know, you're going to be probably surprised to hear me say this, but the trigger's too light. Yeah, it's too light. I'm so used to the Glock trigger, I guess, that I was shooting off rounds before I wanted to. I was safe, don't get me wrong. I was on, you know, my muzzle was pointed downrange and I was pointing at the target with my pistol. But I'd be pressing the trigger before I really wanted to shoot, and sometimes shooting right over the top of the steel targets. So I'll tell you, there's really something to be said for becoming a one-gun man or one-gun woman. You know, one type of gun, and just get good with it. You know, what's wrong with that? I put a post out on a forum recently floating the idea of just being a one-gun man. I had about half the people that responded supported me and about the other half flamed me, you know. And I think, this is just my experience from shooting a lot of different guns lately. Last two or three years, I've been shooting a lot of different. Everything from single-stack 9s to full-size 9s and 40s and 45s. You know, pick a gun that works for you and stick with it. That's what's working out best for me, I can tell you. And of course, it's no secret, the Glock 19 works best for me. It feels good, it balances well, it recoils well for me. My hand fits it just fine. Today I shot AASA, I shot half the match with my M&P Pro and the other half with my third generation Glock 19. Guess what? Shot a lot better with the Glock 19. Why? Well, probably because I've got 50,000 rounds through Glock 19s. Not just one G19, but throughout all of them that I own, I've probably shot about 50,000 rounds through them since I've owned them. I tell you get real used to shooting a gun. You get real good with a certain type of gun when you shoot about 50,000 rounds, don't you? And I learned a little secret that I like, for those of you that do own a Glock 19, especially third gens. I'm starting to actually go full circle and come all the way back to a third gen G19, and here's why I like it. You know, the grip is not as good as the fourth gen. I get that. That can be improved. What I really like is it's very, very easy to change the recoil spring and the recoil spring guide rod on a third gen G19. First of all, there's all kinds of recoil spring guide rods that are available for that pistol. And there's all kinds of recoil springs. I use Wolf springs, and I use an increased power recoil spring. I use a 20-pound recoil spring instead of the stock, I think, is 17 or 18. So it's a little bit heavier or a little bit more stiff spring. Now, what does that do? For me, it seems to really soften the recoil, and the muzzle rise, it rises and comes back on target faster, in my opinion. It makes the gun rise, it makes the muzzle rise and come back on target. So my sights come right back on target faster, if I'm using sights, of course. Let's assume that I'm shooting sighted fire. And that combination works better than anything else I own. Now, a close second in the pistols that I own is the Walther PPQ M2. I think it's going to come down to the point real soon where all I own are either Glock 19s or Walther PPQ M2s in a double stack gun. Everything else just doesn't work for me. I've tried M&Ps. I've tried XDs. That was quite a while ago before the XDMs came out. And I'm telling you, it just seems to be that that's what's working for me. I like the balance of it. I like the size of it. I can conceal it. I'm wearing it right now. By the way, I'm wearing my Glock 19 under one of my new... Here it comes. One of my new Handgun World Podcast T-shirts. Let me go ahead and make that announcement right now. Thank you to Alex in the state of Washington. He's in the business. He's produced Handgun World Podcast T-shirts, hoodies, and hats. So I started off wearing the hoodie because it was about 50 degrees. Yeah, it was cold. It was cold in San Antonio this morning. Then it warmed up to about 70 towards the end of the match. So I took it off and I had my Handgun World Podcast T-shirt. It's got a real nice small Handgun World Podcast logo in the front and a large logo on the back of the shirt. You can right now go to my Facebook page, Handgun World Podcast on Facebook, and I've put up pictures of the shirts, and I'm going to do the same thing on the website. I'll go ahead and put that on handgunworld.com. They are for sale if you want to buy one. $20 for a Handgun World Podcast T-shirt. In any size from small to 2XL, $20. $35 for the hoodies. Good quality hoodies. Well worth it. Handgun World Podcast hoodies. And those are, I think, in gray, tan, and white. The shirts are in white, tan, and blue. And then the hats are $25. And I think we've got white and tan with the Handgun World Podcast logo on the front of it. My new red, white, and black logo. Designed by Greg in California. To all of you listeners who have been helping out, many, many thanks. I really, really appreciate what you're doing for me. So check that out. You can find it all at handgunworld.com, or you can look at them on the Handgun World Podcast Facebook page. Please, I put a lot of stuff on Facebook, so check that out. Facebook.com/Handgun World Podcast. So anyway, you might disagree. And if you disagree, that's okay. You're more than welcome. I don't mind disagreements. I like people who disagree with me. I really like that because it gets me to think. In fact, if you disagree with anything I say on this show, how about calling a voicemail and tell me on the voicemail in 3 minutes or less, you know, where I'm going wrong or what I might want to consider. Maybe it's not something I'm going wrong on, but maybe it's something I might want to reconsider. 210-646-1727 is my voicemail number. 210-646-1727. And last week I had some voicemail responses on there from some listeners that called in some pretty good stuff. But I'm a big believer that become a one-gun person. Now, for a small gun, for me, the Smith & Wesson Shield, 9mm. Followed closely by the new Walther PPS M2. I do really, really like the new Walther PPS M2 single-stack pistol. I got one, and I did a YouTube review, by the way. Folks, go to my YouTube channel. Just search Handgun World on YouTube, and you'll find me. I think it's youtube.com/user/handgunworldshow or something like that. But just search Handgun World Podcast on YouTube. You will find me. And I did a really, really good, I think, pretty in-depth, I've been getting a lot of feedback on it, YouTube review on the new Walther PPS M2. Ben and I talked a little bit about that last week. But, you know, I'm perfectly satisfied with either a Glock 19 or a Smith & Wesson Shield 9mm. In terms of carry, I really don't need anything else. I am going to put an RMR a Trijicon RMR on one of my Glock 19s. I've got three of them. I'm going to go ahead and probably get, by the end of this month or early next month, I'm going to order through Suarez International. I'm probably going to order the entire upper, which is going to be a slide, a Suarez International slide with the internals and a Trijicon RMR 07. That's probably what I'm going to be ordering. So I am going to get on the bandwagon of red dot pistols. I think it is the future. It is definitely the future. A red dot pistol. And, you know, Glocks and M&Ps are really easy to set up with red dot pistols. And, of course, both manufacturers, Smith & Wesson and Glock, are making pistols that are already cut on the slide. In other words, the slide's already milled and ready to mount an RMR, or a Trijicon Ruggedized Miniature Reflex RMR sight, red dot sight. Hey, you know what? Red dots are commonplace on AR-15s. Why can't they be, and why shouldn't they be, commonplace on pistols? It's no harder to conceal a red dot pistol, and there's really, really good advantages. Now, it's important if you're going to get a red dot pistol, if you're going to get an RMR, a Trijicon RMR on your Glock, for example, get the iron sights. Get the suppressor sights, the backup iron sights. You always need to have a backup in case the RMR red dot malfunctions. And you need to learn to shoot it both ways, with the sights and with the red dot. So I'm looking forward to that. Going to order that pretty soon. So I think I'm going to be finding a new home for my Smith & Wesson M&P Pro. And I'm definitely keeping the Walther PPQ M2, without a doubt. And I'll tell you what, it's like coming back home for me, shooting the third-gen Glock 19. And again, I say third-gen because on the fourth-generation Glocks, it's so much more difficult to find different recoil springs and different recoil spring assemblies. Not impossible, but much more difficult. The third-gen Glocks, they're everywhere. But I really recommend a stainless steel recoil spring guide rod and about a 20-pound, 19 or 20-pound recoil spring in a third-generation Glock. You can do this with a 17 or a 34 or a 19. Now, if you're a 1911 person and you've been shooting 1911s and you're really good with it, stick with 1911s. If you're a Springfield XD, I tell you what, I saw somebody today at the shooting match really doing well with his Springfield XD. In fact, he's one of our former students. He's been to a couple classes that Ben and I have taught, and boy, he was doing well. He beat me. He beat me quite a bit. I love it when a student that's come through one of our classes outshoots me. I like that. I don't have an ego. I don't have a big ego and feel like I always have to win. To me, I think it's the mark of a good instructor. If a good instructor can teach a student to become better than the instructor, hey, isn't that the goal? Isn't that great? Isn't that what we're in the business to do? I'm talking to all of you fellow firearms instructors. Isn't that what we're in the business to do, to teach people to get better? And, hey, if they get better than you, you know, some people have different skill levels. Some people can move faster. Some people can do things, you know, faster or more efficiently. And or maybe they've been practicing more. And I think that Ed's been practicing a whole lot more than I have been lately. Although, my shooting's vastly improved since, you know, right before my cancer treatments. I had to take a lot of time off shooting to get through all my cancer treatments. And so my skills diminished. As Ben said last week during our interview, my skills diminished. But now I've been practicing, getting back out there, shooting competition matches, going out to the range with Ben and doing some training and things like that. Shooting is a perishable skill, ladies and gentlemen. It's definitely a perishable skill. So you've got to get out there and practice and train. Don't go buying new guns. You know, if you got a few guns and they work real well and you're good with them, stick with that. Spend the money on yourself. Invest in yourself in ammo and training. I'm a huge believer in that. I don't know about you, but I confuse myself. switching between all these different types of guns, even different types of striker fired guns. I confuse myself. You know, I'm not going to say the word muscle memory. I'm just going to say I'm used to shooting a certain type of gun, and I've gotten so used to it that I start to confuse myself. Now, the Walther PPQ M2. Wow. It's so much like a refined Glock. For me, that's kind of what I call it. I call it a high-grade, upper-level, refined Glock pistol. The trigger is fantastic. The ergonomics is terrific. A little bit higher bore axis than I would like. So I do notice some more muzzle rise with my PPQ M2. As compared to like a Glock 19, I notice a little bit more muzzle rise. Not uncontrollable muzzle rise, but it's there. My sights don't come back on target quite as fast. Oh, and by the way, my third gen Glock 19 that I was shooting today, an AASA, yeah, I was shooting the stock Glock sights. Yep, those crappy plastic ones. The crappy plastic ones with the white outline in the on the rear sight. Folks, I shot pretty well with them. I happen to think they're really not all that bad. Oh, Bob, what did you just say? Did you say the stock sights on a Glock pistol are not that bad? Yeah, that's what I said. You know, can they break? Yeah, they can break because they're plastic. But are they really that bad? No. I mean, that's the first thing everybody does with a Glock pistol, right? When they own one, is they change out the sights. Okay, fine, if those sights don't work for you. But I don't know why people are saying that they're total junk, because they're really not, especially with somebody like eyesight like mine. I kind of like having that white outline on the rear sight. You know, if you remember a few weeks back, I had Grant Cunningham on my podcast, and we talked about shooting eyesight. When you get older, when you get middle-aged like me, and you start, you know, wearing glasses and progressive bifocals like I have and things like that, whatever makes those sights more obvious is an advantage. And the white outline makes those sights more obvious for me. Am I going to stick with the Glock plastic sights? Yeah, probably not. I'm probably going to be changing them. I really like the Trigicon HDs. The Trigicon HDs with a green front sight. I really like those. The speed sights I still like with a green front sight. I do better with green color sights. Some like the orange. I used to shoot the orange. I have the orange Trigicon HDs on my Smith & Wesson Shield. I think I might switch it out to a green. The other thing I've noticed in shooting all these different types of guns, I like to have a decent sized grip on my guns. And that's one reason why I like the Smith & Wesson Shield. I like the Smith & Wesson Shield with an 8-round magazine. I think, for me, that's the perfect concealed carry gun. Why? Well, because that grip length is the same length as a Glock 19. If you don't believe me, put an 8-round magazine in a Smith & Wesson Shield. Turn it upside down. Put a magazine in a Glock 19. Turn it upside down. Put the two guns together and take a look at it. They're the same length. And I like that because it's a lot for me to hold on to. And folks, realize when you draw a pistol, when you draw a pistol out of your holster, if it's got a small grip, it's harder to draw. It's harder to draw efficiently, and it's harder to draw quickly. Not for me with the Shield. That's what I like about it. There's a lot of grip there. I can grip that pistol, and I can get it out of my holster fast, efficiently. I got a full firing grip, and I'm ready to go. It's the same length as a Glock 19, but so much thinner, so the pistol conceals so much nicer. And it's a 9-round gun. Not bad. Eight in the magazine, plus one. 9-round gun. So that's not bad. You know, a Glock 26 is a 10-round gun, plus one in the chamber, if you don't use magazine extensions. Now, just my personal opinion, having owned a Glock 26 in the past, Glock 26 is a fine concealed carry gun. You know, if I was going to carry a Glock 26 again, I would carry it with the flush magazine, the way it was meant to be carried originally. It was meant to be a small version of a Glock with a short grip, because shorter grips make it easier to conceal. Now, one thing about Glock 26s that are nice, especially the 4th gen Glock 26s, they've got enough grip texture that when you draw that gun, you can get a good positive purchase and a good smooth draw with a Glock 26, especially a Gen 4, because of the grip texture. So that's one positive advantage. A lot of people will carry a Glock 26 with a magazine extension, with an extra 2 or 3 round magazine extension. You know, when you do that, just my personal preference, other people might find something different. When I do that, it's almost like carrying a Glock 19 with fewer rounds. I mean, it's got a shorter barrel, but it's not that much shorter of a barrel to make that much of a difference. And so when you start extending the length of the magazines on a Glock 26, you're getting pretty close, in my opinion, to a Glock 19. And Glock 19s conceal so well anyway. I'm carrying my Glock 19 right now in a Concealment Solutions Cobra outside the waistband. Concealment Solutions Cobra. It's an Al-Kydex holster. I think it's the best outside the waistband holster on the market, period. And I'm saying that because I've been using them now for several months. That's the only way I want to carry anymore. I've got a Cobra for almost every gun that I carry. And that's one of the reasons why I like it. And, you know, outside the waistband carry, if the holster is a good holster, outside the waistband carry is more comfortable, and it conceals just fine. And, of course, in the state of Texas and a lot of the states that I travel around Texas, open carry is legal anyway. So if my gun shows a little bit, who cares? I don't care. I'm not breaking a law anymore if open carry is legal. So, anyway, I'm going to bring this segment to a close pretty soon. But if you're thinking about trying all kinds of different guns and everything, that's fine. Go ahead and try all different kinds of guns. When you find a pistol that works well for you, and everybody's different, so a Glock might not work for you. Maybe an XD, maybe an M&P, maybe a 1911, maybe a SIG, maybe a Beretta. When you find the gun that works for you, stick with it. And by the way, get at least two. When you find a gun that's perfect for you, get two. Yep, get two. In case one goes down, you can pull parts off the second one and put it on the one that went down, or you can take the one that's malfunctioning, take it to your gunsmith, and while your gunsmith's working on it, you have another gun that's just like your perfect concealed carry gun. All right? Hey, by the way, when I was right after I shot the AASA match last Saturday, I went into the gun store at a place to shoot in San Antonio, Texas, and they had a couple of Ruger Americans, and I got a chance to finally hold and dry fire and, you know, dry fire the Ruger American and you know, retract the slide and do all kinds of things like that, both the 9 and the 40, and they let me do quite a bit of dry fire with it. Nice gun. I like those Ruger Americans. I like them. They're pretty big and heavy. To me, they're not a concealed carry gun. I mean, some people might conceal carry that or open carry that, but boy, I tell you, the Ruger American 45 is tempting. I don't have a 45 right now, but there I go again. See, there I go again, wanting all these different kinds of guns. I'm just going to confuse myself. But look, if you're a Ruger fan or you like trying new guns and things like that, and you're intrigued by the Ruger American, it feels good in the hand, and you can customize that gun nicely. You know, that is one of the disadvantages of something like a third gen Glock 19. Yeah, you can customize it, but you got to do a lot of work if the grip's not right for you. For me, the grip is it's just right. A third gen Glock 19, the grip is just right for me. I got long fingers, I got fairly decent size, you know, hands. I can reach the trigger no problem. I can reload a Glock 19 without having to adjust my grip and all that, so works for me. But hey, I am impressed with the Ruger American. The trigger on the Ruger American is really good. Really good. Not, I would not say it's as good as the Walther PPQ. I have not yet been able to test a trigger that's any better on a striker-fired gun than the Walther PPQ. The H&K VP9 is decent. The Ruger American is decent. M&P triggers out of the box, I don't like. Not even the Pro Series triggers. Nearly everybody I know that owns an M&P that's serious about shooting it puts an Apex trigger in, and then you got to spend all that money on an Apex trigger and do all that stuff. Hey, why not get a nice gun like a Walther PPQ that has a fantastic trigger right out of the box? So, still the best trigger on a striker-fired gun that I have ever experienced. And so with that said, that's enough for this segment. I am almost at my destination, so how about a quick break, and I'll be back.
Well, yeah, it's getting tough out there. Yeah, no doubt. I work in home invasions, mostly. Some murder, occasional rape, and I'm a huge advocate of gun control. Absolutely. Competition is stiff, and it doesn't help that every time I kick in a door or smash a window, that I face the possibility of being shot and killed. Listen, the fact is, allowing citizens to own guns creates a hostile work environment for me and my associates. No one should have to work under those conditions. I say make them all illegal. Absolutely. Make all gun ownership illegal. I mean, I break the law for a living. I'm a professional, so it doesn't really bother me. I mean, but personally, knowing that most homeowners don't have guns, that would make me a lot more comfortable, more confident, and it would surely increase productivity. No doubt.
This is
no
only
doubt.
A threat of me.
Your local violent criminals work hard and put their lives on the line every time they attempt to murder, rape, abduct, or assault a member of the citizenry. They desperately need your help. With your support, there may finally come a day when a violent criminal can have his way with you or someone you love without the fear, anxiety, and stress caused by knowing there's a possibility his victim might be armed. Please show your support by voting for stronger anti-gun legislation, because criminals prefer unarmed citizens.
Okay, I'm back. You know, this segment, I want to change the subject a little bit. And I want to talk about some things that have been happening lately. Some things that you need to know. Things that have been happening with me. Things that I see happening out in the world, basically. And, you know, since I consider all of you friends that listen to this show, even though some of you I've never met personally, you're my internet friends or my podcast friends, I got to share this stuff with you. First of all, I owe everybody listening to this a big thank you. A very big thank you. And here's what I'm thanking you for. First of all, so many of you have been supportive. When I was sick, when I was going through my cancer fight, and you're also very supportive for my wife and for the issues that I'm going through with my wife. She has a terminal disease, and it's tough. It's really, really, really tough to deal with, folks. I got to tell you, it's tough. But I'm doing the best I can. Thank you very much for all the support. Many of you say that you're praying for me. Many of you did when I was in my cancer fight, which was almost a 2-year fight. And I don't know if some of you are new listening to this. In September of 2014, I had a brain surgery to remove about a golf ball size malignant tumor behind my right ear. And then after that, I had an adult stem cell transplant, an autologous stem cell transplant. What that means is they used my own stem cells, my own adult stem cells that they took out of my body. And once they got me all cleaned up and pretty much wiped out with chemotherapy, and I mean wiped out, they basically eviscerated my bone marrow. It took 22 days. I was in the hospital 22 days for that. And they re-injected clean, fresh stem cells, which were my own that I had donated. And it's kind of like restarting a computer. It's like pushing the reset button on your body. And it's supposed to train your body to stop making the cancer cells and make good, clean cells. I've been totally cancer-free now for a year since the date of my transplant. So, thank you. And, but I tell you, folks, I've been through it. I've been through it. Wow. I mean, all the chemotherapy leading up to, in the summer of 2014, and then thought that my cancer was gone, and it came back, went into my brain, which means it went into my central nervous system. Ladies and gentlemen, the odds for me to live long is far less than when I first started out, even though, praise God, I am cancer-free. And the reason I praise God is because, you know, I don't know what your faith is, but, you know, it's my rights, my freedom, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to exercise that right now. I'm going to talk about my faith. I am a Christian, and if some of you think that I've been strong through all this, if you think that, you know, if you're impressed by how strong I've been, it's not me, ladies and gentlemen. It's not me. My strength comes from the Lord above. You know, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I believe that God is the great healer. And I believe that there are good doctors. There are very good doctors. I got my cancer treatments, almost all of them done, at MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, Texas. And, you know, their slogan, Making Cancer History, it works. They're pretty good. They're one of the best facilities, if not the best, in the world. I hope you never get cancer, but if you do, if you can get to MD Anderson, do it. Don't hesitate. I believe that God puts very smart doctors on this earth for a reason, for our benefit, and it's great. So I credit the doctors at MD Anderson and my local doctor, my local oncologist in San Antonio. I praise every day the Lord above. I literally wake up, I put my feet on the ground, and I say, Jesus, thank you for another day. Another day to live for you, to worship you, to serve you. We are servants, ladies and gentlemen. We are servants. And this whole thing really has changed my perspective. I love guns. I love self-defense. I love being a prepper and all that. Of course, I love being a salesperson. I'm a salesperson. I've been a salesperson now 30 years, an outside salesperson. Make a very, very healthy living. God, for some reason, decided to bless me when I was about 24 years old with some decent selling skills, and I got some great training. He got me to take some great, fantastic training. I learned from one of the best, Tom Hopkins, and I worked for Tom Hopkins for 7 years, from the ages of about 25 to 32. So as a young man, I learned a lot of really good skills that few people ever get to learn, and it's paying off. And so, not quite sure, forgot now where I was going with that, but the bottom line is, life comes first. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about guns and self-defense and worrying and obsessing about, you know, what's the government going to do and what's the new president going to do, and, oh man, we got this vacancy on the Supreme Court now, which does suck. You know, the fact that Supreme Court Justice Scalia passed away, you know, it's because of him that we've got those the two most recent Supreme Court decisions that both of them have really protected our gun rights. Yeah, and all that stuff is important. Gang, the most important thing is, where are you going to spend eternity? Because I do believe that that is what happens when we pass. So just think about that. I'm not going to force my beliefs on you, but I am going to tell you what my beliefs are, just in case some of you might be wondering, how does Bob do this stuff? How does he podcast? How does he take care of a family? How does he take care of a disabled wife? How does he manage to go out and teach a few classes, although this year I'm not teaching very much? I am on the way right now. I'm on the road headed to Houston because this Saturday, Ben Branham and myself are teaching Beyond Concealed Carry, one-day class in the Houston area. And I'm teaching a private license to carry class tomorrow. One of my listeners, one of my friends, wanted me to teach four of his family members, give them the Texas LTC course. So I'm going to do that and then take them to the shooting range and see if they qualify. I'm sure they probably will. And then I'm going to sign off on the paperwork so that they can get their Texas LTC license, LTC license to carry. But how do you, if you're wondering, how does Bob do this? My strength comes, and it originates and comes from God above. So I had to put that out there. I had to throw that out there. Now, let me shift gears again. Let's talk about something that I have to speak very carefully. Many of you probably already know that a fellow podcaster of mine and a terrific guy, Paul Lathrop of the Polite Society podcast, had a bad thing happen to him lately. And that's all I'm going to say. I don't want to talk about what I know because I don't want to jeopardize Paul's fight in any way. Here is what I'm going to say about that. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to be prepared. If you are going to carry a gun, carrying a gun is a very, very serious matter. And there are people, have you noticed, there are people in the United States, there are people in this country that don't like guns. Lots of them. There are lots of people that don't like guns, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I know most of the people that listen to this podcast, you like firearms and you believe in firearms, but not everybody's like you. And there are anti-gun people everywhere, even where I live in Texas. You know what I'm disappointed with in the state of Texas? I'm disappointed, very disappointed, with all of the 30-07 signs that are posted. The 30-07 signs are the no open carry signs. Wow, everywhere I'm going, everywhere I go, restaurants, stores, everywhere, they all got the 30-07, statute 30.07, which prohibits open carrying on that premises. Wow, people are freaking out in Texas. They're freaking out about this open carry. It's not a big deal, but people are freaking out. I'm very disappointed. I really thought that the public in Texas was much more gun-friendly than it really is. And it's making me, this is waking me up. It's making me realize that perhaps they're not as gun-friendly as I've been thinking. And sometimes these signs are accompanied by a 30.06. We call them 30.06 signs, which means no concealed carry. So sometimes they've banned both. So basically they're saying you have to disarm completely if you're coming into our establishment. I've been in Texas now since 1993, off and on. Spent a few years out of Texas. So I guess what is that? I guess I can safely say I've lived here in Texas 15 years. 15 complete years. And I see more signs trying to prohibit carrying of guns than I've ever seen in this state. So I'm disappointed with that. So there are anti-gun people out there, and it is a war, ladies and gentlemen. We are at war with the anti-gun people. There is a huge segment of our population that does not believe in the Second Amendment. They do not believe that anybody should have the right to carry a gun for self-defense. And I really believe that my good friend Paul Lathrop has run into people like that. And he's in a big, big fight over it. Please help him. That's all I'm going to say. You can find out, and if you want, you can email me directly at handgunworld@gmail.com. That's actually the email I prefer to use now. handgunworld@gmail.com. handgunworld@gmail.com. my website, handgunworld.com. So, anyway, I owe you all a big thank you, but be prepared. If you're going to carry a gun, it's such a serious matter. There are great organizations like Texas Law Shield, U.S. Law Shield, Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network. I believe that the U.S. Concealed Carry Association also offers services similar. I am a member of both Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network and Texas Law Shield's multi-state coverage. I recently had Michelle Byington do an interview with me. It was 3 or 4 episodes ago. You should listen to it. It's called Defending Gun Owners. You really need to listen to that. I highly recommend both of those organizations, and I put my money where my mouth is. I am a member. And I thank God I'm a member. Because if I run into anti-gun nutbags that somehow figure out I have a gun and decide that they want to get a bunch of lawyers after me, I have protection for that. I've got people on my side. And ladies and gentlemen, because of what's going on now in the U.S. government, you have got to support organizations like the Second Amendment Foundation, like the NRA-ILA, and I'm talking about the Institute for Legislative Action, okay? The political action part of the NRA. All right, those funds is what they use those funds directly to fight for your gun rights, the NRA I'm talking about. So NRA-ILA. So when you donate to NRA, signing up for a membership is one thing, but not all of those dollars, from what I understand, not all the money from your membership goes to try to persuade politicians to uphold gun rights. But there's going to be a big battle coming, folks. There's going to be a big battle. And the Second Amendment Foundation is very good at fighting those battles in court, and especially in the Supreme Court. Now, I do not have an interest in either of those two. I am just members of both of them. And I'm going to take a real quick call. So, hold on. And I believe strongly in the services that Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network and Texas Law Shield or U.S. Law Shield offer, and the benefits that they provide. The cost is so low, but the benefit is incredibly high. So check out both of those. I will put show notes. I'll put links in the show notes. Now, I want to praise a gun company right here before I sign off on this episode. Walther. As you guys know, I recently purchased the new Walther PPS M2. The new Walther PPS M2. I'm quite impressed with this gun. I did a really good YouTube review of shooting the first 100 rounds. You should go to my YouTube channel. When you're on YouTube, just search Handgun World Podcast. You'll find me quickly by doing that. And check out my new video on the Walther PPS M2. So I called Walther. I wanted to get more magazines because I did not get the LE version of the new PPS. I got the regular version, which came with a 6-round and a 7-round magazine. Well, one little criticism is that Walther doesn't have magazines available for this gun yet. And they will, because all of their other pistols, you can find plenty of magazines for them. But it's just going to take a while. I was able to get the customer service people over at Walther to send me an 8-round magazine. I bought it, of course, I paid the money, and I'm going to try an 8-round. I was wanting to try an 8-round magazine anyway. The LE version of that pistol comes with a 6, 7, and 8-round magazine. So I got an 8-round magazine coming on the way, and I told the guy on the phone, I said, you know, I really don't like shooting the pistol with the 6-round magazine. And he said, well, let me send you the magazine extension to turn your 6-round into a 7-round mag. And I went, yeah! So I paid the extra money to get that. So I'm looking forward to both of those coming. looks like what I'm probably going to end up having with my new Walther PPS is 2 7-round magazines with the very nice ergonomic grip extensions. Magazine extensions that enhance the grip. And an 8-round. Looks like I'll have 2 7-rounds and an 8-round mag. I called up Jason Christensen when I got this gun and asked if I could get a Concealment Solutions Cobra holster. And he said, I've been told that the new Walther PPS fits in the same holsters as the old Walther PPS. I said, well, let me test it out. So I bought, paid for, with my own money, another Cobra holster from Concealment Solutions for the new PPS. When I got it, guess what? Yep, that's correct. The new PPS fits in the same holster as the old PPS. So if you own a Walther PPS Classic, they call it now, the Classic, there's probably a 95% chance that your holster is going to work if you get the new Walther PPS. I'll tell you, I'm pretty impressed with Walther's handguns right now. I really am. At least these two latest versions, the PPQ and the PPS. And I've been corrected. I'm going to share an email with you next week, but my friend Brian in Alabama, he basically sent me an email about my terminology when I say that the push-button mag release is an American magazine release and the paddle on the trigger guard is European. I guess that's not completely accurate, but that's what people are calling them. I'll share Brian's email next week with you because it's a very well-done email. Hey, I love well-done feedback. I really do. But anyway, it just seems like the vast majority of the guns that Americans like to use have the push-button magazine release, and a large majority of the guns that Europeans like to use have the magazine release just underneath the trigger guard. It's like pushing down on a paddle. So, and some people really like that magazine because it is truly ambidextrous, so they like that magazine release that's on the trigger guard. It is truly ambidextrous, so you don't have to do anything to the gun to be able to eject your magazines right-handed or left-handed. That is a very, very good advantage. I just prefer pushing a button with my thumb because I've trained thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of rounds to do that and thousands of reloads. That's the way I've... And I don't want to retrain myself. So, anyway, the PPQ, the Walther PPQ M1 version has the trigger guard mag release, and the M2 version has the one that most people in America like, which is pushing the button with your shooting thumb. Last but certainly not least, I want to talk about the fact that one of my listeners by the name of Alex, who runs a company out in Washington, the state of Washington, does a fantastic job of making promotional items like hats and sweatshirts and t-shirts. So if you go to handgunworld.com right now and you go to the, let's see, what's the name of the store? It's on my website. I believe I just created this store last night and I can't even remember what I called it. I think I called it Accessory Store is what I called it. You'll see pictures of the new Handgun World podcast hats, t-shirts, and sweatshirts. And they are available for purchase. $35 for a hooded sweatshirt, $25 for a hat, and $20 for a t-shirt. It's got my new Handgun World podcast logo. The shirts have the logo real small on the front and large on the back. And, of course, the hat just has one logo in the front. And this weekend at class, I'm going to be wearing some of them, and I'll get some pictures taken so you can see pictures of me wearing my promo stuff. But here's another way you can help support the Handgun World podcast. It's great range gear when you go to a training class, things like that, and you'll be able to help me out. If you don't want to spend any extra money and you want to help me out, please make your purchases through my Amazon store. Go to handgunworld.com. You'll see my Amazon store. And finally, Ben Branham and I from the Modern Self-Protection Podcast, we have a great Shooters Club video membership program. Exclusive, well-done instructional videos on shooting. Even Chaz Murray from Road Gunner Training and Tracy Thronberg are on the Shooters Club teaching some stuff. I think you're going to like that. Almost 50 videos for only $8 a month, folks. $8 a month? Come on. You can afford that. You know, if you can afford to get an annual membership, it's only $75. You can save some money that way. And we will email you a password. Hey, by the way, all Shooters Club members, please check your PayPal password. Excuse me, your PayPal email accounts for the password. I sent it out about 2 months ago, the new password. Check the same email account that you use for PayPal, because that's how you signed up. Thanks, folks. I'm Bob Main. You just listened to another episode of the Handgun World podcast. Evil doesn't exist in the holster. It exists in the hearts of men and women. Shoot straight. Shoot safe. Talk to you next week. Goodbye.